The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Buildup with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Good afternoon, everyone. We are getting ready for the San Jose Sharks to take on the Minnesota Wild, see if they can make it 2 wins in a row and 4 out of 5 on a homestand before they head out onto the road and onto the East Coast. I am now joined by Curtis Pashelka of Bay Area News Group. Talk about all things San Jose as we head into tonight's game. Curtis, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Ted. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I'm enjoying talking about the Sharks getting some consistent wins as of late, which really was not part of the narrative other than one stretch last January, or this past January, I should say, of when Logan Couture was back and they went 4-1-1. What's been your take on the Sharks' recent turnaround that we've seen?
Well, for the first few games of the homestand here, I was really impressed with kind of how the Sharks were kind of keeping most things to the outside, and just the amount of difference there's been in sort of giving up the amount of grade A's compared to last year. The team looks a little more sound inside its own zone and is able to break the puck out a little bit easier. Obviously, there's times where that hasn't happened, but I think for the most part, that's been an area of improvement that you've seen here recently. And then obviously the goaltending, I think, has stood out as well. You know, Vitek Vanacek with 49 saves on Tuesday night against Columbus. That was kind of a game where the Sharks were, you know, played well at times, maybe. And then obviously in the third period, kind of sat back probably a little bit too much as they tried to, stay in that game and keep the lead and things of that nature. So it's been, I think there's been improvements here. I've liked the way Will Smith has played here these last two or three games. Of course, getting Mac and Celebrini back on Tuesday night, and he'll play again tonight, of course. He's big for this team as well. So overall, like, you put that 0-7-2 start behind you, you're on a more positive track right now. So this, I think the Sharks have a lot to be happy about right now as they finish this homestand and go on the road this weekend.
I think the interesting thing about this year's start is that while lazy people like myself are always making the comparisons to a year ago because it's the low-hanging fruit, if they had not started out 0-7-2 but still had a record of 4-8-2 at this point, I don't think people would have been that surprised. I think just the fact that it started off 0-7-2 with a 9-game winning streak and winless streak and the possibility of starting off a second consecutive season 0 for October and double-digit losing streak, those parallels were easy to draw, even though, in my opinion, the play looked much better on the ice. If we go back a year ago, they were bleeding goals at a much different level, and yes, they had bad games at Winnipeg and at Vegas, but other than that, I felt like that it was a very different team than what we saw a year ago.
Yeah, and you look at the start, in October, there were some games there that the Sharks feel that they probably could have won or at least gotten a point out of. You looked at maybe the two Anaheim games were very close and probably could have gone either way if the Sharks had done a couple of things differently. And the main concern really in the start of the season was just the offense, like with Mac and Celebrini out of the lineup. How is this team going to consistently generate chances and score goals? And now you've seen, a few more guys sort of chip in that respect. I think Jake Walman's been a nice, pleasant addition here to the team. Leads all defensemen in scoring. He's not playing tonight. He's hurt, but someone like that, he's kind of brought in and adds some stability. Like I talked about Will Smith, he's starting to feel a little bit better about his game, a little bit more of a weight off his shoulders. And of course, a guy like Mikhail Granlund, leading the way and probably been the Sharks' most consistent player throughout this whole season so far. And you got some other guys, Toffoli, Zetterlund, who are chipping in. I think they've got 6 goals each at this point. So You know, there's a few more guys chipping in, adding scoring chances, and I think, you know, cutting back on the amount of chance they're giving up at the other end here has led to some more optimism around the Sharks here these days.
I want to ask you about Jake Walman, so I won't forget, but you brought up Will Smith and his game has improved. But I thought it was interesting, Curtis, in game one of the year, Macklin Celebrini did that backhand outside spinorama, throw it into the slot, got a lucky or fortunate bounce for a goal, which good players do. That's, you can't, you know, you can't score a goal unless you put the puck in a dangerous place. And he also had an assist, and then he was hurt. And so he was held in this incredible regard by the fan base. Whereas Will Smith had to deal with the winless start to the season, had to deal to shuffling of lines and power plays after Macklin went down, and he struggled a bit and had to deal with, you know, the realities of the NHL, whereas fans saw Macklin as literally perfect in their eyes. I mean, if after one game, he's the NHL's all-time points leader with 2 points per game. And I always found it, you know, interesting to watch people say, oh, send Will Smith down, he's not here. And I'm thinking to myself, guys, A, he's 19, and this is what the Sharks want to do. And then B, you watched Macklin come in the other night, and he didn't look nearly as comfortable as he did in the first game of the year. And, you know, it's just, it's interesting to watch people have these reactions to 18 and 19-year-old players who have played an exceedingly small number of NHL games.
Yeah, I mean, and you knew going into the season that there was going to be some, both players were going to have to face some adversity here, especially in the first half of the season. And, you know, the Sharks knew that too. So they have some sort of built-in days off or nights off for both players. We'll see what happens, you know, on this road trip coming up, if there's some development days for both players. But, you know, you're right. It was such an electric beginning to Macklin Celebrini's NHL career. Two nights he was flying out there, even though he's hurt, he was still making plays. And then we kind of caught up to him by the end of the game. But still, it was a memorable performance, one that people who watched that game or in attendance that night won't soon forget. And like you said, Will Smith, you know, there's nights where he really struggled early on. And to your point, that was not something that was necessarily unexpected. He was still a teenager, still getting his feet wet here in the National Hockey League. So, I mean, it's interesting to see how both players, their starts to the season have gone so far. But, you know, I think Will is getting more comfortable now. And I think Macklin will look better tonight than he did maybe on Tuesday night there, where he felt his game was just tough. It's just tough to sort of jump right back in and get a feel for the speed and the timing again, like he would have been if he had played all, you know, 7 or 8 games by this point. So we'll see. I mean, that's for both. I think, you know, both players sort of eager to sort of continue their careers here in this season, and you know, we'll see what comes of it here as soon as the Sharks try to get a few more wins here before too long here.
What do you make of the Jake Walman situation? Because Ryan Warsowski talked about injury playing a factor, but also made allusions to no one being bigger than the team. What was your reaction to that?
Well, I mean, listen, I think, they don't want to say too much about what's going on, what happened, why was he held out of the lineup on Tuesday. You can speculate, what the reasons were, but bottom line is I think both guys seem to be on the same page right now. It's just a matter of when Jake's could be able to sort of play again. I was confused on Tuesday. I didn't know what was going on. Okay, Jake's hurt, but he's not playing. It's a coach's decision. But if he plays, he could probably, is he 100%? And, Jake is saying in his mind, well, part of the reason was probably, I'm probably hurt. I'm hurt a little bit right now. So that was probably part of the reason why I'm not in there. Well, Ryan Rosofsky was saying, it has nothing to do with the injury. It's just, it was a coach's decision why he sat out. So there was a little bit of confusion there maybe about what was going on Tuesday. I think there's a little more clarity now. We know he's hurt. We don't know how long he's going to be out. They say he's day to day. We'll see I'm assuming he's going to join the team on the road trip and get it at some point there. But I think the Sharks are just saying, it's behind us now. We want to move on. Everybody's on the same page. No one's bigger than the team, like you said. So it's just a matter of kind of, trying to learn from that experience, I think, from both sides, and trying to get the most out of Jake here going forward, because he's going to be a huge piece with his team if they hope to make strides here.
Have you been at all surprised that Fabian Zetterlund has picked up and maybe improved upon where he left off at the end of last year?
Not necessarily. I think he's a pretty driven guy, and when he's going, you can tell, the confidence is there. Once he puts one in, they seem to come in bunches for him a little bit. So even going back to last year, that was the case. He got hot at a certain point and sort of carried it through. It's just a matter of sort of being a little bit more consistent, I think, for Fabian at this point, just trying to be taken from one game to the next. But, as long as he's kind of creating chances and being in the right areas and also being responsible at the other end of the ice too, I think the Sharks will be perfectly happy with what he's brought so far and what he could kind of continue to do here going forward.
Mikael Granlund is a name that has already been bounced around the NHL as potential trade deadline fodder. And it's interesting because his age doesn't line up specifically with where the Sharks are headed. But at the same time, it seems like he's a really good presence within the dressing room. Guys really like him. He goes out there and he's playing at a very high level. It seems like he's healthy and happy here, which I don't know if that was the case at some of his previous stops. I know definitely that the health was an issue, which probably contributed him to his not being as happy. But how do you view that situation as he continues to perform at a high level, on par with what he was doing previously in his career when he was at his peak?
Well, you're right. I mean, I talked to him at the start of the season here. He says he loves it in San Jose. Doesn't know what's going to happen in the future here. A lot of it's out of his control. From Mike Greer's perspective, you're right. I mean, he's not a spring chicken anymore. I mean, Mikael Granlund is, there's going to be some interest in him at the trade deadline. So the Sharks, if they haven't extended him by that point, have to sort of make a decision. Is this a guy we want to keep around? And is Mikael Granlund amenable to that as far as wanting to sign an extension here in San Jose, even though maybe, in the short term, at least, there could be some more, rebuilding going on. Maybe the Sharks might not be a playoff contender next season. It all depends. I mean, Mikael has to want it. The Sharks have to want it. It has to make sense for both sides. And Mike Greer also has to weigh what he could get for Mikael Granlund in return at the trade deadline here, as he tries to, build this thing for the long haul and try to keep the Sharks sort of going in the right direction here without necessarily committing too much money to a player who's going to be in his mid-30s here before too long. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how it plays out. Just judging by last season, I think, Mike Greer is going to probably seriously consider moving Mikael at the trade deadline, even though the Sharks do not have a retention spot left. Mikael Granlund's cap hit here this year is $5 million. That's not easy for a lot of teams to absorb, but we'll see. We'll see, kind of see what happens here. I am kind of curious because you're right. I mean, Mikael Granlund does bring a lot of things to this team's leadership with those young players is obviously one of them. And I think the Sharks are mindful of that. They want to have those solid veteran presences around this team as they continue developing and grow. So it'll be a lot. It's a lot to sort of consider here for Mike Greer and what he wants to do, what he wants his team to look like going into next season.
Do you think the way that the team performs this year is impacting how he views the timeline on when to kind of go in more on free agents, or is it still in flux, I guess? Is it still more of a longer term play?
Yeah, I think Mike Greer has a plan and is going to kind of stick to that plan. So, I don't know if the Sharks are, they're going to have a lot of money to sort of play with next offseason as far as cap space goes. So it'll be interesting to see kind of what additions the team sort of makes at that point, who stays, who goes, that kind of thing. I think this season, I'm not sure how much this season would impact sort of the longer term view, what Mike Grier has in mind for the Sharks, but certainly he wants to see progress, you know, from 1 year to the next, and wants to, you know, take that next step next year as well, regardless of how this team finishes this season. So I'm not sure if, like I said, I'm not sure if this season will impact next year a whole lot, but it's certainly going to give him an indication, Mike Grier, an indication of what he needs to add to this team to get it to where it can be, you know, a serious playoff contender for the long term.
What's been your take on Ryan Warsofsky as the first-time head coach? I was expecting him to maybe be a little bit more forceful after some losses, but the most that he gave up was a, this is embarrassing. Otherwise, he's been pretty measured. After losses, I know that for both of us, his short nature has not been great in terms of contextualizing things. But after the wins, he's been a little bit more long-winded and given a little bit more context on things. But, you know, he's also trying to feel it out, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I think that some of the things he's talked about with some other coaches who have been around for a while, that, and he understands the situation here in San Jose too, where, you know, there isn't necessarily huge expectation for this team this year in terms of making a playoffs push or things of that nature. I think he you know, as frustrated as he probably has been at times this year, you mentioned the Winnipeg game, the Chicago game, the Vegas game. He wants to see this team compete and work and be hard to play against on a nightly basis and sort of let the results sort of take care of themselves. When he gets the most frustrated is when he doesn't see those things on a nightly basis. So that's kind of what he gets upset with, I think, more than, you know, wins and losses. Of course, you know, he wants to win as much as he possibly can with his team, but for this team to grow and take the necessary steps, they have to sort of learn what to do, what not to do, what kind of effort they and compete level they need to bring in on a nightly basis here. So I think this team, he's still sort of, you know, learning a little bit on the fly. I think, you know, as a first year coach, there's a lot of things you've got to deal with. I think, you know, he's been a head coach before, of course, in the East Coast League and in the American League, but the NHL is obviously a little different animal. But so he's learning some things too. The players are learning a little bit more about him on a daily basis and his head coaching style. So, you know, I think, you know, he has been measured at times, but I think he measures things from a more of an effort standpoint, a compete standpoint. And he just wants to see those things on a more regular basis, I think, from this group.
Pretty big test tonight in Minnesota, who are 7-2-1 in their last 10 and have been one of the early season surprises, or I guess a surprise maybe isn't the right word. They just weren't as good as we expected them to be last year. But to me, this feels like a pretty big test for San Jose, especially considering the way that, you know, I'm sure they feel Saturday night against Vancouver got away from them in terms of getting at least a point. They bounced back with a nice win on Tuesday night, and then now they come up against a very talented Minnesota squad.
100%. I mean, obviously, Kirill Kaprizov is one of the best talented, you know, most talented players in the league. He presents so many challenges for any team, you know, let alone, you know, a sort of a team in transition like the Sharks are. He's going to be a handful to sort of slow down tonight. This is a very stingy Minnesota team as well. It's not easy to sort of create chances against this team. The Sharks are really going to have to work to create opportunities and capitalize on those opportunities too. You know, we've talked about the power play here these last few games, maybe not being, you know, at its best. So when the Sharks do get a power play opportunity tonight, they really have to bear down and capitalize on those situations and stay out of the box themselves in terms of, you know, not giving Minnesota too many opportunities with the man advantage and sucking sort of the energy and any momentum you might have at that point too. So a huge test for the Sharks tonight. You know, good preparation for the road trip. They're going to face some really good teams on this road trip too. So, you know, sort of measuring stick game, maybe a little bit for the Sharks too, for sure.
Curtis, now you've got stuff to do, so I will let you go, but I appreciate your time and your work as always, and I will see you at the tank in a little bit. All right.
You got it. Thanks, Dad. Appreciate it.
Again, that is Curtis Pashelka of Bay Area News Group joining us here on the Sharks Audio Network. And we are just about out of time. Pre-game 7 o'clock, go time 7:30 tonight on the Sharks Audio Network as Minnesota comes to get wild against San Jose. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.